Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Today, an interesting Friday to end the week as we are starting to see some pretty significant reversals in markets and a bit of a sell-off today almost across the board outside of the U.S. dollar. A lot for us to talk about on this Friday. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show and editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Joel, as I said, I'm seeing a lot of red on my screen outside of the dollar and a lot of selling that has come into the market kind of after the first couple hours of trading. A lot of markets open the day down and have continued lower, but even the markets that open the day up, like gold and silver, those are starting to sell off as well. Joel, make sense of this environment here. I know that markets have been generally flat to lower to kick off the second quarter, but what's happening here at the end of the week?
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thanks for having me. A lot of thoughts here. First of all, I don't know, I come on Fridays. I don't know if I've mentioned the old Friday theory of the propensity of the market to close at the extremes, the highs of the lows for the week. You can go back and check your charts on that. That's certainly coming into play today in the market. So I want to say that. I say overall, I think last week I said I was neutral, you know, still neutral to bullish. Well, now I'm neutral to bearish. I haven't gone all out bearish yet. We'll see what happens the remainder of the day, but I'm not stepping in here, buying any dips, any levels in here. I give you would only be temporary levels and already have a large cash position, but on rallies, there would be some equities I would look to turn out. But today's a very important turning day in the market, and I'll blame JP Morgan. I mean, that was a great report, and the stock is down nearly $11. Someone just came in with their selling shoes, and they said, hey, no matter what this report is, we're out of JP Morgan today. We are selling. You saw the reaction in the pre-market. That's spilling over into other banks and other stocks. The other thing that's concerning is that it was the same reaction to Delta Airlines while what had its earnings on Wednesday. Looks like it was going to kiss 50, and now it's under $47. So the earnings worm has turned, and it doesn't look too the positive.
Yeah, Joel, the earnings worm has turned. People are starting to sell the news right as it comes out. Even if it's good news, that's not usually a great sign for the trend. But as far as the banks, you know, we did see like three or four articles hit back to back talking about, you know, these higher interest rates are hurting the banks. And it wasn't just JP Morgan. They're talking about Citigroup, Wells Fargo. They're talking about Bank of America. So there's a lot of banks under pressure because of these rates. Now, we've talked for a long time that rates were going to stay stable for longer. But could it be that these rates are just too high for these banks compared to, you know, the bonds that they had on their books from maybe a year or two ago? Mm-hmm. And maybe there's just a spread for these banks.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this move, and I hope I said this on our previous shows, but if your investment thesis getting into the market is based on lower interest rates, you need a new investment thesis. Rates are just not coming down. You got some inflation data this week. The CPI, it was down, you know, it was higher. They kind of shrugged it off. People tried to, you know, paint a happy face on the PPI number. And then, you know, you had a big catalyst yesterday in Apple to just kind of suck the market along, right, with their AI news. But now, you know, it's back to the fundamental. JP Morgan, as I said today, I mean, they're out there with their selling shoes. The last thing that people are clinging to is that, oh, the CPI is not that important and the PPI is not that important, but the PCE is important. And that comes out later in the month. But there's just a lot of other factors. And then I would be remiss if, you know, I didn't mention, you know, the global macro situation. I mean, things are not good. Things are not good. You know, you read the headlines, whatnot, you know, an imminent attack of Israel from Iran. That's shooting oil prices higher. Oil hits 87.67. If you could tell me that that's not inflationary, then I need to go back to my economics classes because that is not a good sign. That hits the consumer at the pump. They're less money, less disposable income, spending less. A lot of things here are painting a negative picture here on this August 12th. And if you want to use your excuse to, oh, people are selling to pay their taxes. Well, The smart people sold a while ago to pay their taxes, and they know what their taxes are well ahead of time.
Joel, to that point about oil being higher today, gold is still higher today by about $20, but off of its highs. The dollar is the one that's much higher at 106. Is this simply a safe haven play because of some of these geopolitical issues?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I wish you guys wouldn't have mentioned to me that gold hit 2448 and now is under 2400. Y'all have heard me 1,000 times saying I'm going to sell my gold. Though these kind of candles are warning shots across the bow. And boy, I wish I would have had some kind of stop in there, but I don't. It's been a long-term position for a long time. But keep an eye on the price action in this candle. Gold, silver nearly got to $30. Oh my gosh, $29.90. Bitcoin, like I say, these kind of candles on a daily chart are not the kind of candles. What kind of candle is it? Shad, you know candlesticks.
Like a doji?
Yeah, a doji, man. That's a doji right there. Making a new high, not only a new day high, weekly high, all-time high reversing, and it looks like we're going to be closing near the lows in the gold session. So not a pretty candle. You haven't heard me, I'm technical with my levels and everything, but, not a huge candlestick and all those other patterns. But note that candle in gold, silver today.
Yeah, Joel, it's a good point. And honestly, there's been four or five big reversals in gold where there was those big long wicks, that indecision candle, like a doji candle. So definitely something for investors to keep their eye on as we close the week. But speaking of technicals, you are very good at the technical side of the show here. Let's look at the S&P 500. What levels do you have on for support now?
And also, I want to say, I've been in the markets and, what I think I try and do is learn from other people. And one of those people is my co-host of the Pre-Market Prep Show, Dennis Stick, a longtime trader, CFA. And he tells me to take off the S&P glasses, that I'm too S&P centric. And I've been focusing more on the IWM. Everyone's been looking for the catch-up trade. Well, IWM is breaking 200 here. So my easy technical level, if you're looking for any kind of upside or you're looking to play from the short side, until the IWM, I'm looking at the iShares Russell 2000 ETF. The longer it takes to get back above 200, the more I would be worried about that. Several daily lows in that area. As far as the S&Ps go, and I know I'm like a future-centric guy, there's just really, I don't know how short-term you want me to go. Like I said, I haven't done my levels for the week, but another 40 or 50 points of downside, that would not surprise me at all to see that. And if you want to look a little bit lower, maybe the psychological level of 5,000 on the S&P 500 futures. But a lot of the ways that I do the technical analysis, instead of like, oh, well, this is my Fibonacci projection level, I let the market give me my levels. And right now, there was a double bottom from Wednesday and Thursday at the 5175 area. We've taken that out. So short term, we got to get back above that 5175, which is absolutely nothing in this. And then to be honest with you, if you really wanted me to, stick my neck out on support, basis the S&P futures right now, the next level, if you had asked me for a level today, it would be 51.2650, and that was the front month contract low for the month of March.
Joel, let's talk time of the year right now. And I know sometimes it's a bit too simplistic to just say, oh, the calendar rolled over to a different quarter and that changed the overall market direction. But quite frankly, we go back over the last 3 or 4 years and we have seen some pretty significant market turns on quarter ends. This weakness all started right at the start of the second quarter. Is this a concern as well?
You always look at sell in May and go away. Well, maybe it's just, sell in April and be long gone by May. I do talk about the expiration turns here in the front month contract of the S&P futures, and the expiration was early this month on the 18th. So we are below that level of 52.14. Actually, what was the third Friday here? So actually 51.82 was the closing print on the rolling front month contract. Now we're only 15-20 handles away from there. If the bulls want to make a stand and save this market, you know, from 5,100 or 5,000, they need to make a stand. They need to make a stand today. They need to make a stand in early next week.
Well, Joel, just talking about looking at where those support levels will come in and the market making a stand and the bulls making a stand, you had mentioned to us off mic that you don't think you'd be tempted to buy the dip here. You're on a little more defensive posture, just how everything's set up. So maybe unpack that for investors thinking that they, you know, used to just going in and buying the dip every time.
Yeah, I mean, I also should disclose, you know, I'm not the world's greatest long-term investor. I thought I was pretty smart by the end of October last year in treasuries, a lot of 5%, 6% money. And I thought I was smart, but missed, you know, instead of allocating new money to the market, could have been into the market and had much better returns than that. The problem is when you have the kind of market that we've had and you pull back off that high, you do have the buy the dippers that are coming in and getting selected levels. But what's happening now is when you distance yourself from the all-time highs, when you distance yourself from these levels, you have bigger money, longer-term money that doesn't care that you're long NVIDIA at 920. They could care less. And they, you know, and they get a pop up at 878, you know, it's trading 884.74 right now. They're going to try and sell a million shares between 890 and 910. So, you know, and this is just a hypothetical situation. The farther you pull yourself away from the highs, the more that you caught to buy the dippers, you know, the market always goes up. Mixing that in with longer term investors, that cost basis in NVIDIA is 250. You know, so yeah, they wish they would have sold 950, but they didn't, and they'll trim. So that's just one thing. When you're buying the dip, you know, also, I don't know how many short-term traders you have out there, but if you buy the dip and you're trading something and it doesn't look or go your way by the end of the day, man, either lighten up or just get out of it, because there are those days where you're going to open down 50 handles and then go down 100 handles, and then you get a margin call. And I don't think you guys have that many kind of investors, but this is not the type of environment to, I kind of joke about it on the show, don't frown, average down. I don't think that this is the kind of market that you want to be doing that in.
All right, Joel, we can wrap it up here. You've driven home the fact here that this is a scary end to the week. It's been a rough start to this quarter. Quite frankly, next week, I guess we need to see if we get any bounces, because if we don't, man, momentum. We all know how important that is for markets. It could start to pick up on the downside. So we need to look at some lower levels here in that overall theme. Don't buy the dip, sell the rip. That's where we're at right now. Joel, it's always great chatting with you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.